talking about superheroes. Some of you that know me very well, you know that I love watching movies. You know, many of you as well, you love going to the movie theaters and watching certain shows. And you know, if you know anything about movies, you know that movies, they have different genres. You know, you got drama, you got comedy, you got action, you got horror, science fiction, etc. Now, in the Bible, you also find different genres as well. You got poetry, you got history, you got parables, you got romance. I mean, so many different, you also have actions and horror. In some parts in the Bible, you might not want your kids to read it because you might have to do a lot of explanation to them later on. I just love watching movies. But my type of movies is, I don't like horror too much because to me, it's not scary enough to me. You know, just I can watch it by myself. That's, you know, I love action and comedy. You know, when Rush Hour came out, I was there. I wanted to watch that. I'm a big fan of the Avengers and the Justice. I mean, that's the type of movie that I watch because I like to watch when there's a hero that, you know, he comes and he saves, he or she comes and saves the day. You know what a hero is, you know, and I love movies like Die Hard. You know, Detective McClain, he's at the wrong place at the wrong time, but he ends up saving the day. People like Jack Bauer in the show 24. You know, those are my type of movies, my type of action, like Braveheart. You know, like fighting against, rising up with these few people to come against a whole nation. You know, the 300, the Bourne, Jason Bourne. You know, they come and say, those are the type of movies that I watch. Taken. See, it's interesting because you find heroes like that in the Bible. I mean, if I were to give you the time to name a few of those people that you would regard as hero in the Bible, some of you would say David, Joshua, Moses, how about Samson? Nobody would mess with him. You know, it's all because like God will use those people in extraordinary ways. And it's like that. I mean, it's almost you're watching a movie. I mean, you read the Bible, it's almost like you place yourself there because like, wow, look how powerful they are. They came and saved the day. Gideon. I mean, that almost symbolizes the 300. With 300 people, he beat 10,000. That's just incredible, man. And some of the things in the Bible, if you were to categorize that, you might think it's science fiction. All the miracles. Some people don't believe. I mean, that's just science fiction. But even that genre is in the Bible. In some of the things you read. I just want to tell you about three heroes that perhaps you never heard of in the Bible. But they did an outstanding job. They did amazing things. Like I said, you know about David. You know about Jonathan, perhaps. But I'm pretty sure perhaps you don't know about these three people whom the Bible considers mighty men. And why are they even called mighty men? I mean, there are at least two chapters in the Bible dedicated for them. So that means that you read about them, you just went through fast and you did not even pay attention to their names because their names are hard to pronounce. You know, like one of those names in the Bible is like Mephibosheth. What in the world? You know, you don't name your kid like that. But there are people in the Bible that they did amazing things and they're there for a reason. The Bible says that whatever is in the Bible is there to teach us. There's something you can learn from what you read about them. And we're going to be looking at 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 15, because these men are considered mighty warriors, mighty men. And for whatever reason, they were called that way. They were considered like that. And they were hanging out. They belonged to the Justice League of David, using that term. And it wasn't a time in David that he was at his low, at the lowest point in his life, because he became a fugitive. He was running away from this mad king named Saul. Saul wanted to kill David, even though God already said that David was going to be the king that he wanted. And David ended up when you read that story, David almost epitomizes Robin Hood. He's in the woods because he cannot even come to Jerusalem because he will get killed. And even when he's running away, people gravitated towards him. And he got this army of 400 men. And later on there were 600. And you know, when you read the story of Abigail, That's the context. David's running away. He didn't have a palace. Sometimes he will go into a cave with his mighty men. So imagine, as a king, even though he didn't have a palace, he was surrounded by people that the Bible calls mighty men. I mean, if I be David, I'd be so privileged to have men around me that I can count on, that I can depend on, that I know they have my back. And that's what I think it's worth to know about what this man did. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, the Bible says that all those who were in distress, or in debt, or discontented, they gathered around David and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. So the context is, they're in the woods, they're in the caves, they're going around in the desert, they don't have a house. You know, they're just running away from the king. And now you're running away from king, from your own people, and you have the other Hittites and Jebusites and the Philistines around you. I mean, you need protection. This is David. I mean, sometimes you hear about David and things you did not know about, that he came to a point in his life that he was a fugitive. But then he had men around him that he can count on. Men that the Bible, like I said, the Bible calls them mighty men. The Bible also said there were 30 of them, 30 mighty men in an army of 400 people. But out of the 30, there were three that they were just, when you read what they did, it's amazing. To me, it's like God was doing amazing things through these men. And that's why I wanted to bring that sermon, to see what it is that we can learn about these men. And so let's go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23, I have no idea what page you might be in your pew Bibles. 2 Samuel. It's in your outlines and in your bulletin. 2 Samuel 23, the 23rd chapter, picking it up in verse 8. You see, the NIV, I mean, if you have a Bible NIV, it will say, "Mighty David's Mighty Men." Like, that's not even a title, so you know that this is talking about his mighty men. Why were they called or considered mighty? Powerful, valiant people. Let's read about. So scripture says, 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, these are the names of David's mighty men: Josheb Bashabeth, the Tachmonite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men from whom he killed in one encounter. I mean, you read that, it's almost like, this is just crazy. Really? I mean, you were that powerful? Just one? You killed? And so some people say that just doesn't make sense. That's just, you know, that's gotta be a miracle. Well, God was doing that through him. Then he says, next to him was Eliezer. Eli, that's your boy. Eli is the son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pan David for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated. Check this out. Then he stood his ground and struck down the Philistine till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about great victory that day. The troops returned to Eliezer, but only to strip the dead. You know what? When he says, the NIV says that his hand froze to the sword, you're fighting so long and for how long? You're grabbing that sword, you're not letting go, because if you let it go, you get killed. And he's just fighting people. And, you know, like, you hold up something for so long, eventually, like, your hands will be, like, almost attached to it. That's what happened. We don't know how long he fought, but it says that the Lord brought about great victory that day through Eliezer, one of David's mighty men. And then there's another fellow. Next to him was Shema, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistine banded together at the place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shema took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about great victory. I mean, it's already, you're reading that, and doesn't that appear like a movie? Like this action right here, that's the type of heroes that you want to be part of. I mean, they're taking the stand when everybody else is running. They're right there fighting for a cause. One thing that I noticed in verse 10, in verse 12, they were so brave, but he says the Lord brought about great victory that day. Now, in both cases,
when Eliezer stood up and also Shema, the troops of Israel, what did they do? They fled. They ran away from the enemy. These two men, they took their stand and fought. And God gave them victory. Not to the whole army, but because this man was valiant. He was a man of valor. And he fought. And he says the Lord brought about great victory. The Lord accomplished great victory through him. Just like he did through David, through Samson, through Joshua, through Gideon. Because they were men of courage. Now, it's interesting. In the Bible, God is always calling his people, men and women, to be courageous. Casting Crown has a song, "You Were Meant to Be Courageous." To Joshua, he said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." You see, that's the whole idea. God has always been calling his people to be courageous. You still have to fight those battles. He's not going to fight it for you. You still have to show courage. You still have to be brave to fight that. But he said that he's going to be with you. I mean, Joshua said, nobody else is going to come against you, but you have to be brave. Be courageous. Haven't I commanded you? And so I see courage when I talk about David's mighty men. Some of the things that just, you know, the scripture, Samuel is telling us that they did, that God accomplished through them. When Israel's troops fled, these men, they took their stand. And they fought. And God then did the rest. Victory was theirs because they were not afraid. And talking about being afraid, the Bible already says don't be afraid 365 times. It's almost like one per each day. You get up in the morning, don't be afraid. Be courageous, be brave. But we know that at times, I mean, look at this. Everybody else is running and you're going to, that statistically, don't do it because statistically it's not possible. By yourself, you're going to come and fight so many people. But, you know, because they relied on God to do that. That's why it says the Lord brought about great victory because he wasn't just fighting on their own strength. God was providing. So when I read that, especially when David needed companionship, when he needed people to rely on, he had men like Shema, Eliezer, Joshebeshebeth, men that gave their lives, even if it was necessary, for the cause, for the king. You know what I learned about this? Mighty men of the king, they are courageous. Mighty men are courageous, and which means that they do not run away from the conflict. Conflicts and opposition is going to rise, but they take their stand. They stand their ground. They do not run away from the opposition. Even when everybody else is running, they stick to the cause. They face opposition fearlessly. That's what being courageous means. You're not afraid. God's looking for men like that. The mighty men of David, they were men of courage. And then, of course, God blesses courageous people. I mean, I'm trying to think now. You go into the Bible, anybody who was afraid that God blessed them when they were in fear, if you can find me somebody that I would like to know. I think everybody in the Bible that God did something through them and by them was because they had what? Courage. Gideon told God, you know, I'm the weakest in my family. Why are you choosing me? And then he had like a whole 1,000 people. And God said, no, you're going to get 300. And it's telling everybody else, go home. Just 300 people. And they ended up not even fighting. They lit up some foxes and they went into the field. And, you know, it was like something dramatically happened. And they ended up winning. But they had to do the other part. I mean, courageous is not that you're going to go crazy. Like, well, I'm courageous. I'm going to go and cross the street without looking. That's stupid. That's not courage. But when God calls you to be courageous, like to stand for the cause of God, they're standing for the cause of the king of Israel, David, even though Saul did not want him to be king, but they recognize that the Lord already had appointed David. And yes, David is at the lowest moment in his life, but this man said, we are with you. No matter what happens, we got your back, David. You know, we preachers don't have a lot of friends. Seriously, we don't have a lot of friends that we can like that can have our backs because, you know, the moment we mess up or something, like, we become your enemies. We're ready to be fired. And so it's nice to see that man came towards David at that moment, and you can say, you know, he's my friend. When I'm struggling with something, I know who I can call, and it ain't the Ghostbusters. When I'm struggling with somebody, something, I know that
that person, he has my back. You know, because we preach, not because we're preaching, we're not perfect. We struggle, we have all the things. We need mighty men around us.
But that's true, we don't have a lot of friends when we get struggles and things. But when we get a couple of people, a couple of men that we get, that they're around us, I mean, that's a blessing. That's a blessing too. I mean, look at David, like I said, the lowest moment of his life, people like that. That if the truth is running away, we're not. We're with you in this. It's opposition, we're going with you wholeheartedly. It's like the 300 in Leonidas. You know, prepare for glory. Like, you know, it doesn't mean we're with you even to the point of death. That's mighty men. Men of courage. See, also mighty men, I learned here, they are committed to the cause. Yes, David is running, he's hiding in caves because the king is looking for him to kill him. They're committed to the group. They're committed to the community that they already had. Remember, we read in 1 Samuel 22 that people that were distressed, discontented, they were unhappy with life. They had debts. They all gravitated towards David. They formed this allegiance. They had this fellowship of people. And they were committed to one another. I mean, we talk about the church is the fellowship, but are we committed to one another like this? I always say that the greatest people that display fellowship on earth are gangsters. Gang. Because they are really for real. I said, you don't mess with one of them because everybody else will come and get you. In the church, sometimes we do the opposite. We just sacrifice or crucify the brother and sister. And like we don't display true fellowship. But they were committed to the cause. Like, we are your soldiers now, people. We fight in your battles. If the Philistines, the Jebusites come, they gotta go through us. If you want them, you gotta go through me. That's courage. I mean, they were committed to the cause. Committed to their king, to David. I mean, you wanna have an army like that, surrounding you, protecting you. You know, you think about movies like The Fellowship of the Ring, when Frodo decided to take the ring to the mountain. Aragorn said, I defend you, you have my sword. Legolas says, and my bow. And then Gimli said, and my axe. We're with you, Frodo. And they went. Frodo wasn't able to make it alive to the mountain because he had surrounded by people. And the whole movie is The Fellowship of the Ring. Night companions, later on, you know, they took on a journey together. I mean, I see mighty in that. Courage, committed themselves to the cause. Whatever it is that we try to accomplish, we're committed to that. I mean, think about us, a church. The church gonna also need mighty men, that they're committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, committed to the fellowship, to that community, to the group that we already have. Courage, commitment. When you display those qualities, you are mighty in the eyes of God. Another thing that I see about these men, they were mighty, mighty men served their king even at the cost of their lives. Let me just read some more to see what the three of them, we read about individual acts. This is what the three men, mighty men of David did. Picking it up in verse 13. He says, during the harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David at the cave. Notice, he's in a cave. At the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim, at that time, David was in a stronghold, and the Philistines' garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, oh, that someone will give me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. You are in a cave and you're dreaming. They're dreaming about the water that Bethlehem had. But you're going to go to Bethlehem because people will kill you. But just like, wow, if I just had a little bit of that water from there, that would be awesome. This is David. Wow, oh, somebody will bring me a drink of water, he said. Drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So, the three mighty men, check this out, broke through the Philistines' line, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. And then David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. He said, far be it from me, O Lord, to do this, he said. It is not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives, and David would not drink it. And then Samuel says, such were the exploits or the acts of the three mighty men. They The king wanted water from the well. It's like, I mean, let me just bring it into our situation here. Let's say that you cannot leave Staten Island because, I mean, you leave, they will shoot you at the bridge. And we have this king, and then he said, wow, if I can just go and get a barbecue rib from Famous Days, man, that would make my day. And some of you decide, let's go get it. You go, cross the bridge, go to Famous Days, and bring some barbecue rib, and he cannot even eat it, because like you just risk your lives looking for that. That's what happened here. It's like David's longing for water, but the water you want is protected by the enemy. And these three men did not even tell David they would want to do that. They broke through enemy's line, went over there, drew water, and came back and get. Because for them, whatever my king wants, I'm going to get. So they were men of courage, men of commitment, but they also loved their king that much. You see how passionate they are about David as their king. That they would serve David even if it cost them their very lives. It's almost like your desire is my order. Why would you lie, Your Highness? Why would you lie, Sire? It's done. Just ask. Risking their own lives to fulfill the king's desire. That shows how devoted they were to the king, to their leader. And then David, I mean, I see David's act as an offering to God. He would not drink the water. Instead, he poured it for the Lord. It's almost like he's thanking God for men like that. It's like, I cannot drink that. You guys could have been killed. You went. Now, they even violated their own. I mean, you know, they did not even tell the king where they were going. They just, well, you want water? You get water. We're going to get it for you. Even if it kills us getting it, we're going to. It's like, wow. You see, no wonder they're called mighty men. These men were committed, courageous, and they were ready to die serving their king. Now, Leonidas, I mean, this portrayed in the movie The 300. Leonidas, king of Sparta, was preparing to make a stand with his Greek troops against the Persian army around 480 BC. And you know, in history, the Greeks conquered the Persian. You see, Leonidas, I mean, he's only going with 300 Spartans to fight this mass army of Persians. There's no way that you'd be able to accomplish anything, man. So when the Persian envoy arrived, Persian sent an envoy to Sparta to let him know, what are you trying to do, Leonidas? Don't even try, man. You're not going to win. So when the Persian envoy arrived, the man urged Leonidas, and he showed him the futility of trying to resist the advancement of the huge Persian army. This is what the envoy told Leonidas. He said, our archers are so numerous that the flight of their arrows darkened the sun. And you saw that in the movie when they were shooting those arrows, like it got dark because all those arrows are going, it becomes like impossible to see the light of the sun. He said that to the king of Sparta. He said, our archers are so numerous that the flight of the arrows darkens the sun. And then Leonidas said this, so much better, for we shall fight them in the shade. That's courage. It's okay, but better, because we don't have the sun to disturb. It'd be the shadow. We're going to fight the Persian army in the shade. Leonidas made his stand, and he died with his 300 troops. That's a man of courage. He took his stand for the cause because he didn't want the Persian army to go all the way to Sparta. He met the Persian army somewhere there, even when it cost him his life. That's courage. That's commitment. That's willing to die for your own country. And I see that in these men. They were willing to sacrifice their own lives for their king that they love so much. We need men. We need mighty men in our homes. We need mighty men in our churches, in our society, in our country. We need mighty men that are courageous people, that they can stand and protect whatever God has entrusted to them. That say, no, we're going to take a stand because God already put me in charge of that. You're not touching it. You got to get it through me. Men committed to their homes, to their wives, to their churches, to the community that they're a part of. Men who risk their lives for the sake of their king. We have this king that we profess and claim to love, Jesus Christ. Are we willing to sacrifice not just time and other things, but even our own lives for his kingdom, for his purposes? I mean, that's being a man of courage, a man of valor. You see, God will continue to accomplish great things with men like these. These men show their commitment, dedication, and love to the king by what they did. And the Bible calls them mighty men. God is calling men to be courageous, to commit themselves to his cause, the things that he has entrusted, to be willing to sacrifice themselves in the service to God. And I think when we're willing to do that, to be committed, to be courageous like that, and to be willing to risk our lives for the sake of Jesus, we too become mighty men. So let's go for it. That's what God's calling us to do.